About 8 AD, about 57 AD, the Apostle Paul wrote a letter to some Christians in Rome. It was very difficult to be a follower of Jesus and live in Rome during those days. And the Apostle Paul writes a letter to those Christians to encourage them, and it's known as the Book of Romans. And in the Book of Romans, he makes this statement. You've heard this before. He said, "If God is for us, who can be against us? If God is for us, who can be against us?" And the answer, obviously, is, well, no one, right? I mean, if God is for us, if God is fighting for you, if God is on your team, then there is no one that can be against us. The question I want to address this morning is, what do you do when it feels like God Himself is against you? What do you do when you feel like God's against you? That not only does it seem that God's not for you, but it seems like He is flat out against you. I've been there. But like many of you, there have been seasons and there have been chapters and there have been times in my life where I sensed that God just wasn't for me, that He was against me, and not only was He not doing anything to help me, it seemed like He was actively working against me. And I know He wasn't, but that's sure how it felt. And man, if He was for me, it sure didn't seem like it. And all of us have been in those moments and those times and those seasons where we feel like God's against us. And it may be a few days or it may be a couple of weeks. For some, it's these seasons where it's like, okay, if you're not going to do anything to help me, God, please don't make it any worse. If you're not going to do anything to help me, then please just leave me alone so that I can do what I feel like I need to do. And yet, it feels like He's against you and you don't understand why. And one of the things that makes this so challenging for us as Christians is that when you're in one of those seasons where you feel like God is against you, you look around and it seems like God is for everybody else, but not you. It's like God is working for everybody else every time they pray, every time they ask God about something, God just sort of steps up and does something. And it gets very frustrating and it gets very irritating. And then you get around other Christians and they say the craziest things. You just want to slug them. They'll say things like, "Hey, you know what? God answered a prayer for me the other day." And you're like, "Really? What did He do?" "Well, I lost my keys." "You lost your keys?" "Yeah, I lost my keys, and I prayed that God would help me find my keys. And before you know it, my husband came home. He came home early. He's so great. But he came home early, and when he opened the door, I could hear my keys jingling, and there I found my keys. Isn't God good? Let's just praise God." And you listen to that, and you go, "I hate you." Like, just shut up. Because, you know, you're praying for something simple like keys. I'm praying for something big. I've got a sickness, and I need God to heal it. I've got a marriage situation that is breaking, and I need God to heal it. I'm suffering from a loss, and I need God to help me. My son or my daughter, I need them to come back home. And God is answering your prayers about your stupid keys. Are you kidding me? And you don't even want to hear it. Because you're in that situation, and there's some major things going on, and you've been praying, and you've been wondering, and you've been asking, and you can't for the life of you figure out, why in the world will God not answer this? It's a simple thing. And yet He doesn't do anything, and you ask about it, and it just seems like He's against you. The problem is, when you stay in a season like that long enough, you begin to draw some really bad conclusions about God. You begin to assume some things about God that aren't true. We begin to assume that God's not interested. We think that God doesn't care. Or we think that He is upset and angry for us. And in those moments, at the center of that struggle, at the center of all of those emotions, especially for us as believers, at the center of all of that is this question: does God care? Is God listening? Is God paying attention? Is He concerned? Because if I could just know, if I just had some idea that God knows about this, somehow that might make this a little bit easier. Today, if you're in one of those seasons and you're here and you would say, "Yeah, that's me. I just feel like God's, that He's against me. Can I go ahead and answer that just in case you fall asleep or have to leave early? Can I just answer that? God's not against you. I know it seems like it. Believe me, I have been there. But God's not against you. And I know it's hard for you to hear that He's for me. Yeah, but look around. How can He be for me? God's not against you. He is for you. He is not angry with you. He is not upset with you. He is for you. You know how we know that? Because later on in this same chapter where the Apostle Paul says, he says, if God is for us, who can be against us? He goes right along and he says, God did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all. Do you know how I know that God's not against you? Because He sent His Son Jesus to die for you. That's how you know God's against, not against you. And when God sent His Son to die on a cross, He settled once and for all that I am not against you. I am for you, and I do care about what's going on in your life. But you see, when you stay in a season like that long enough, your faith begins to erode and you begin to assume some things about God that aren't true. You also begin to assume some things about yourself that aren't true. You begin to think things and say things like, I'll never be happy again. I'll never be happy again. And you can think back to a time, say like seventh grade. I don't think seventh grade was happy for anybody, but you can think back to a time in your life when you were happy and things were great and you and God are close and there was no doubt that God was for you, and now you find yourself in a season and you're thinking, you know what? I'll never be happy again. You start telling yourself that lie. The other conclusion that we draw about ourselves is I'll always be in this situation. Things will always be this way. Things will never change. They'll never get better. I'm stuck in this mess. I will always be in this situation. You see, if you stay in a season like that long enough, you'll begin to have some doubts about God. You'll begin to have some doubts about you and your life. And you'll begin to lose faith in God. And before long, you've drawn some really bad conclusions about God and about yourself that are simply not true. Isn't it interesting? When you go through a hard time, I pray. But when I go through a hard time, I doubt. When you go through a hard time, it doesn't rattle my faith. It's like, man, I'm sorry. I will pray for you. I am here for you. Whatever it is you need from me, I will do whatever you need. But I don't go home and lose my faith over that. But man, something happens in my life and it's like, oh God, where are you? What are you doing? Why are you allowing this to happen? And we go through this and we go through that time and it's like, well, why is that? Why is it that when you deal with something difficult, I have all the faith in the world that God's going to be good and He's going to be faithful. But when I go through something, it's like, well, wait a minute, where is God? What happened? Why is it what you go through doesn't rattle my faith, but what I go through rattles my faith? Because when it seems like God's against us, our faith takes a hit. And before long, there goes our faith. And before long, there goes our hope. But none of us want to give up hope. None of us want to give up hope and abandon God. We don't want to give up faith because it's difficult to live life without faith. It's difficult to live without any hope. The question is, what do you do when it seems like God is against you? Here's the good news. If that's you today, if you feel like that, and I'm really glad you're here because, believe it or not, it is possible to go through these chapters and to go through these seasons in your life where you feel like God's against you and still maintain hope and still maintain real faith. And the reason that I know that is because the Scripture is full of men and women who felt like there were times that God was against them. These are real people who lived real lives in real history. And these are men and women that if you were to drop down in certain segments of chapters in their life and see what was going on, you might assume about them what you assume about you, and that is that God is against them. They faced all kinds of things, and they continued to believe. They faced all kinds of things, and yet continued to hold steady and move forward in their faith. They would write things like this. David in the Psalms wrote, how long, O Lord, will you forget me? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and every day have sorrow in my heart? Job, in the middle of everything he went through, he said, I have no peace, no quietness, no rest, only turmoil. The Apostle Paul was dealing with some sort of a physical ailment in his life, and he said, three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, and he ignored me. He didn't listen. This is the same guy that wrote, if God is for us, who can be against us? And he prayed, and he prayed, and he begged, and he asked God, and God did nothing. All through the Scriptures, we see men and women struggling like that. So we are not the first, and we are not alone. In fact, for a few moments, I want us to look at a man who experienced some of these things. And where we pick up his story, he is in the thick of it. If you have a Bible and you want to follow along, we're in the book of Lamentations. Lamentations is not a familiar book that a lot of us know about. It's after the book of Jeremiah. If you need the Old Testament, you need to look at the front of your Bible to find a table of contents to find out where we are. That's fine. We're going to have these verses up on the screen as well. But you can use the Bible you brought. You can use your smart device. Lamentations chapter 3. This is one of the most honest passages, I think, in all of Scripture. Jeremiah is writing in the book of Lamentations, and the book of Lamentations is really his journal. It's his personal account of what God is doing and isn't doing and what he's experiencing. And the thing that's interesting about this passage is he is very open and honest about everything he's experiencing. He's not holding anything back. And here he is, pouring out his heart before the Lord, all of his hurt, all of his disappointment, all of his sorrow. And here's what he says, Lamentations chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. He says, I am the man who has seen affliction by the rod of the Lord's wrath. He has driven me away and made me walk in darkness rather than light. He senses that God's pushed him away. Indeed, he has turned his hand against me again and again all day long. It's like he says, I go to the Lord all day long with these things, and it's like I'm getting the push off. I'm getting the shove off. I'm not interested in that, Jeremiah. I don't want to hear from you. Now, God's not actually doing that, but that's how he feels. Every day, he says, I feel like God's hand is against me. Indeed, he has turned his hand, verse 3, he has turned his hand against me again and again all day long. Verse 5, he has besieged me and surrounded me with bitterness and hardness. Some of you understand that. Because some of you are here today and you feel like God has surrounded you with hardship, and no matter which direction you turn, it's just one hardship after another after another. That's exactly how Jeremiah felt. Verse 6, Jeremiah says, he's made me dwell in darkness. Earlier, he made him walk in darkness. Now, Jeremiah says, he makes me dwell in darkness. And those long dead, he knows what it's like to feel like things will never get better. Verse 7, he has walled me in so that I cannot escape. He has weighed me down with chains. He says, I feel like I'm in prison to these circumstances. And Jeremiah says, I don't think things will ever change. Verse 8, even when I call out or cry for help, this is us, he shuts out my prayer. Man, he knows what it's like to be praying and hear nothing. He knows what it's like to be calling out to God and God to respond with nothing, just nothing but silence. He pours out his heart to God and he receives nothing in return. Look down at verse 10. Like a bear lying in wait, like a lion in hiding, he talks about God. It's like he's hiding, waiting to pounce. That's how Jeremiah feels. It just feels like God's against me, Jeremiah would say. And he's like this bear that's in waiting. He's like this lion that's crouching down, ready to pounce on me. That's what Jeremiah is feeling like. Verse 11, he has dragged me from the path and mangled me, and he's left me without hope. He drew his bow and made me the target of his arrows. He pierced my heart with arrows from his quiver. He says, you know what it's like? He says, it's like one arrow after another, and it's like God has targeted me, and just one thing after another, it just keeps on coming. And I can't catch a breath. And I can't come up for air. I'm just facing this target on my back. It's just one thing after another after another. And I don't know why. It's like God is singling me out. Verse 17, he says, I have been deprived of peace. I have forgotten what prosperity is. I've forgotten what it's like to be happy. There's no peace, he would say. There's no happiness. There's no sense that everything would be okay. Verse 18, so I say, my splendor is gone and all that I'd hoped from the Lord. In other words, I'm completely hopeless. He says, I remember, verse 19, my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I well remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. Man, my man Jeremiah needs a hug. Like, he is facing it. Like, he is in the middle of it. And he's a God follower. Somehow we have this idea that if I follow God, I'm exempt from all of this. No, we're not. Here he is following God, doing everything that God had called him to do and be as a prophet. And now he's in a situation where he feels like God's against him and he's helpless and he's hopeless. He's in a place you never want to be. But then something happens. Something happens, changes with Jeremiah. Something that Jeremiah does with all of this. It's the same thing that you and I can do when it seems like God's against us. It's interesting what he does. What doesn't change his situation. It doesn't change his circumstances. You know what it does? What Jeremiah does, follow me. What Jeremiah does, it changes his perspective. And in changing his perspective, he found hope. You know what Jeremiah does? Look at what he does in verse 21. He says, yet this I call to mind. In other words, what he says is, in light of everything that I am facing and holding on to and what I think is coming against me, he says, there's one thing that I am holding on to. There's this one thought that I am holding on to. And Jeremiah says, in holding on to this one thought, I have found hope. It has given me hope. What was that one thought that he's holding on to? He says this, yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. What is that? Verse 22, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. Boy, it feels like it. But Jeremiah says, the thing that I am holding on to in the midst of all that I am facing is that I'm trusting in the love of God for me. Everything around me says God doesn't love me. But I am holding on to the thought and the trust that God has great love for me. He remembers his great love. And then he says, for his compassions never fail. He remembers that God is a compassionate God. You know what that means? That means he sees. He feels. He understands. He knows what you're going through. He is compassionate. He is a compassionate God. And he says, verse 23, that compassion, he says, that is new every morning. Great is your, what? Faithfulness. In other words, every time I need it, I have found that God's compassion is there because he is a faithful God. And God is good and he is loving. Even in those moments when he's not, he is still faithful. Now watch this. It's interesting what Jeremiah doesn't do. One thing he does do is hold on to the incredible love of God. But there's something that Jeremiah doesn't do that oftentimes you and I do. Jeremiah never allowed his circumstances to define God. Never. He never allowed his circumstances to define God. Now listen, life will do everything it can to convince you over and over and over that God doesn't care. That God's not with you. That God is not interested in your life. Life will try to convince you that God is against you and he doesn't care. But listen, your personal circumstances are not a reflection of how God cares about you and how God feels about you. We are terrible at interpreting our circumstances. And here's what we think. As long as things are going well, God's happy with me, he loves me, everything is going to be good. But as soon as things turn south, then something's gone on. God must be upset with me. He must be disappointed in me. Something has happened. We are terrible at interpreting our circumstances. But they are not a reflection of how God feels about you. And you can't ever lose sight of that, because like Jeremiah, when we're in those seasons where it feels like God is against us, it's easy to come to those conclusions and think, well, what's going on is a reflection of how God feels about me. And God says, no, they don't. No, they don't. What's going on in your life is not a reflection of how I feel about you. Don't ever draw that conclusion, God would say. You want evidence, you want proof of how I feel about you, God says, look to the cross. Don't look at what's going on around you. Look at the cross when I sent my one and only Son, Jesus, because I love you. Look to the cross, because in the cross I have demonstrated my incredible love for you. How you know I care about you isn't what's happening in your marriage, or isn't what's happening at the job, isn't what's happening with your finances, it isn't what's happening with your health. How I care about you is not a reflection of what's going on in your life. Don't make the mistake of hanging your faith in God based on what's going on around you. The truth is, what's happening in your life is not a reflection of how God feels about you. It's not a reflection of your faith. And it's not a reflection of your obedience. God is paying attention. He sees it. He knows. He understands. He knows the frustration. He knows the disappointment. He sees and knows all of that. And God says, I know that you look around and it seems like I'm against you, but I'm not. And I know it looks like that, but God says, I'm not against you. And God says, I know that you're here and you think that everything is falling apart. I assure you, it isn't. I know that you're in a situation that now you feel helpless and now you feel hopeless. And God says, I know that you're on the verge of walking away and giving up because you think that I'm not paying attention and you think things will never change. Listen, could it be? That maybe God has brought you here today to remind you that I'm not against you. That I am for you. I'm not against you. And I know you feel like I am, God would say. But I'm not. And I know you feel helpless. And I know you feel hopeless. But there's no need, because I am God and I see everything that you're going through. Just keep your faith in me. Just keep trusting in me. And when it seems like I am not faithful, God says, I am. And one day soon, this season of hopelessness and helplessness that you feel will be over. Just keep trusting and just keep believing. Here's the question I want you to think about as we leave. Imagine with me for a moment. Imagine what it would be like in your life if you had absolute confidence and absolute faith that God was for you and not against you. What would it be like tomorrow morning for you to get up? And before your feet ever hit the floor, you say, you know what, God? I'm absolutely confident that you are for me. And I have been dealing with this, and I've been struggling with this, and there doesn't seem to be any light at the end of the tunnel. But God, I am absolutely confident that you are for me, that you are not against me. What would a person who believes that in your situation, in your circumstance, what would a person who believes that do if they were confident that God was with them and not against them? Then do that. Jeremiah said, this is the thing that I'm holding on to. And it's hard. But I'm holding on to God's great love for me. And I know that God is a compassionate God. And His mercies are new every morning. Keep trusting. Keep believing. Keep the faith.